Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Super Tuesday? More like Super Snooze Day, am I right? Except in two states, and I'll explain. An MSNBC panel laughs off the immigration debate because, well, Virginia doesn't share a border with Mexico. Who knew? Also, a teachers union wants a contract worth more than the entirety of the state's tax receipts in a year. That means the CTU has to be involved. Also, it means that I'm Andrew Coppins, and this has to be AWTF Wednesday, right here on Critical Thinking. Well, folks, you'd be correct in assuming that, because this is indeed myself, Andrew Coppins, and this is Critical Thinking. And first off, I have to apologize for a little bit of a unscheduled sabbatical, but last week was the week from HE double hockey sticks, shall we call it. It was just a lot of stuff going on for me, myself, and I, and I just did not have the energy or time to give you what you wanted and what you needed. And with that in mind, I'm looking at making some changes for this program. I haven't fully thought through exactly how we're going to format this, but I really want to be able to make this show impactful and fun. And so I'm really trying to figure out the best way to do that. And I think the best way for me, given where things are in my own life, is likely to reduce the amount of shows that we're going to produce and that I'm going to produce for you. It might be a Monday, Wednesday, Friday situation, or it might be just once a week. But my goal will be to make an impact on specific issues. We had talked about this from the jump of, you know, economic freedom, religious freedom, all sorts of those types of things. And I think that's really where I want to go with this show, and maybe once a week really focus in on one of those topics. I also do want to continue talking about the Federalist Papers, and I might produce that from a separate standpoint, and I might do those videos as a separate study guide going forward. But just know that there are going to be some changes coming, and there are changes that, number one, will allow me to help, again, be impactful to conversations that are going on. Because I also realize this, you can go anywhere to find the news and views of the day and opinions on everything and everything in between everything, right? You can go and find that anywhere. But one of my strengths is deep diving. One of my strengths is data. One of my strengths is research into topics. And I feel like if I can do that from a perspective of spending some time doing this behind the scenes with the little time that I do have, it will be more impactful to topics that do matter. And I want to weed through the muck, the mire, the, you know, craziness that both right and left-wing media are feeding us right now, and the chaos that they are sowing, and really dive into the issues that do matter And I'm going to give you an example of this today on WTF Wednesday. But before I do not forget you can follow me on social media. I am at The Coppin Show on X, on Facebook. You can find the show on Instagram. It is at Critical Thinking Show, although I haven't been using it very much on Instagram, and that's okay. So I would recommend conversating on X. That's where I believe the best of the conversations are happening right now. It's where I believe there's the most impact to be had. And that's just reality at this point for me. So that's where you can do that. You can also watch the show on X. You can watch it on the Rumble channel, rumble.com/criticalthinking, rumble.com/criticalthinking. And of course, you can always listen via podcast. And if that is the case, make sure that you have subscribed or followed the program, depending on your favorite podcasting platform. Otherwise, make sure that you are downloading, rating, and reviewing, making sure that you are accessing or have access to the show whenever it does drop. Now, one thing that I do want to let you know is that the other thing that I am looking at is the length of this show when I do these shows that are going to be less daily and more impactful. My goal is to also make them less in length. And you might say, well, that is counterintuitive. Well, what I'm going to be trying to do here is really following a critical thinking formula and applying it to news or applying it to things that are going on in the economy, things that are happening in the real estate market, things that are happening with education, with immigration, with whatever the issue might be in the buckets that I put forth earlier this year when it comes to religious freedom, economic freedom, all of that sort of stuff. But I feel like it has to be digestible. It cannot be 45 minutes of me talking on a single subject because that's going to bore you to death. So I want to follow a formula. I'm going to kind of transform this show. And I want your feedback. So again, if you can follow me on X, if you can do all of those things, that would be great in terms of helping me as I go through this change. And this change is really meant to allow my life to be in a better position, to focus more on my family, to focus more on the things that will better my life, and hopefully catch fire for this show as well, because I feel like this show is just kind of a run-of-the-mill. Nothing's really all that different than what you're going to find almost anywhere else in conservative media, and that's not my goal. My goal is to be different. My goal is to be impactful. And I feel like following actual critical thinking formulas is a novel concept, unfortunately. So, with all of that said, let's get in to a WTF Wednesday, because you guys love WTF Wednesday. And this will be probably the last of the WTF Wednesdays if I only do once a week shows. If I can do three times a week, then WTF Wednesday will stay on Wednesday. And you'll see Monday and Friday kind of being more of those impactful shows. Because, folks, I'd like to have fun. Not everything is super serious, but there are some serious issues today. And that begins with Super Snooze Day. I mean Super Tuesday. Because, well, oh, here's a shocker. Joe Biden won all of Super Tuesday. Donald Trump won almost all of Super Tuesday. Except for there are actually two states in which I want to focus in on, because there were some major issues going on and major races going on a state level that are vitally important to know and note. Because what is the narrative that you have been hearing from conservative media, from right-wing media, from non-Trump bootlicking or non-Bulwark, Lincoln Project, Rhinoland? It is that, well, we're all doomed. It's all doom and gloom, right? And Team GOP hates you more than the left hates you. And I'm going to get into some of the left hating you even more in a little bit. But that's the narrative, right? That Team GOP hates you. They're going to rig the game against you. They're doing it in states even like Texas, right, where we see Dade Phelan kind of ruling with an iron fist over the legislator there, or the legislator there. And so we see all of that going on in Texas. We see it in North Carolina, in Oklahoma. We see it here, there, and almost everywhere. Like, supposedly red, red, red. And by the way, the base cannot be bothered to do anything about it. We're just going to sit there and take it, except for on Super Snooze Day. Texas was not snoozing. Texas was not asleep at the wheel. Texas did something about it. Because earlier this year, there was school choice. And maybe it was late last year, too. Excuse me. School choice was on the docket. And all the Democrats in Texas and the legislature there decided to say, yeah, nah, we're good. We don't want school choice. We don't like this version of school choice or whatever have you, including multiple members of Team GOP, including Dade Phelan and others, decided, nah. I believe it was 13 of them decided, nah, we're going to side with the other side on this issue, and we're not going to allow school choice, at least the way that it was written, and that's what they told you, is that they opposed the way that this bill was written, except for that's not really the case, because when you looked into who's funding them and who's been helping them along the way, oh, it turns out that Randy Weingarten, you know, the head of one of the two biggest teachers unions in the country, and by that I mean the national versions. I think she heads the American Federation of Teachers. But anyway, they had their primary yesterday. And, well, 10 of the 13 candidates in primaries, because there's 13, okay, but 10 of the 13 supported by Corey DeAngelis's super PAC, well, at least the super PAC that was formed by the company that Corey DeAngelis, or the nonprofit that Corey DeAngelis works for. I want to make sure that I get that right. Okay. He works for a nonprofit, or started a nonprofit, and then that nonprofit also has a super PAC arm to it, supporting school choice, by the way. That's really all that it exists to do. Well, as of last night, 10 of the 13 were either winning, leading, or pushing candidates to a runoff election. That's right. Texas stood up for school choice. At the voting booth, they said to the people who didn't want to listen to them, which is abnormal considering we talked about what happened in the 2022 election, when it came time to say no to the incumbents who did what they did to us during the COVID era, none of the entire country said no thank you to the incumbents. Not a single solitary incumbent lost a Senate seat. Not one. On a national level. But in Texas, this time they said, we're going to learn our lesson and we're going to do something about it. Now, Daniel Horowitz pointed out on X that seven incumbents were already defeated, and a further 8 incumbents in GOP primaries were forced into a runoff in the primary in the state of Texas. See, this is good news. There is actually a price to pay for not listening to your base for once. And this is a message that I think Donald Trump needs to heed. I think we need to take a look at the senators who just passed this absolute mini bus from hell. I think we need to take a look at Speaker Mike Johnson, and will he or won't he stand up to this mini bus bill and say, no, thank you? Will they force the hand? Will they say to Mitch McConnell, get with the base for once in your entire career? This is a shot across the bow, because it includes the Speaker of the Texas House, Dade Phelan. That's right, folks. Dade Phelan. Now, the headline that you might be reading is that Dade Phelan forced into a runoff for his seat in Texas, and I believe it's in the Beaumont region of Texas, so kind of in the area in which it borders on Louisiana, right? Now, the same Dade Phelan who was, like, totally schnockered while gaveling in a session and trying to vote on something last year, if you remember that video, that Dade Phelan, the one who held this school choice bill up, again, whether it was perfect or imperfect, I'm going to say this because this is an axiom in business, especially in the world of the startup company world. You cannot let perfection be the enemy of the good. I think that's a good axiom. But more importantly, strive for good products and then perfect them. And what does that mean? It means you're never going to put a perfect product out there for the consumer, okay? You're never going to find that perfection because we are human. We are imperfect. We are never going to put that perfect product out. Never. No company will, whether you've got Google money or a $2 million seed money for your company. Put the good product out, the one that works, the one that accomplishes, let's say you've got five goals and it accomplishes the top four goals. Put that product out. Work on that fifth goal. Do the good. Do the great. Then work on the rest. It's just that simple. And I think that is an axiom that we need to understand from government's perspective. And I think it would behoove the base, the hard line of both parties to understand that. Do you get the vast majority of what you want out of this? If that is the case, that's a great bill. Pass it. Then work to make the changes as necessary as you go back and take a look at the results, right? What are the consumers, what are the people of your state telling you about said bill or said program or whatever have you? Like, okay, so here's what's working with school choice and here's what we need to correct. Go back and correct it. Go with version 1.2 or version 2.1.4, right, of these bills. You can go back and make changes and make them better. Not perfect because that doesn't exist, but make them better. Instead, well, this bill's not exactly what we want and it doesn't accomplish all of what we want. Instead, it accomplishes the vast majority. So, yeah, you know what? We don't like the financing mechanism of this. We prefer a different financing mechanism. But hey, but by the way, we're only 13 people in a group of like 50. We're not even half. We're not even a third. We're about a third or so. We're going to hold it up so that we can then allow ourselves to be used by the left so that we can then allow what to happen? This just dies on the vine? But I want you to see this, okay? So, Dade Phelan, you're going to see the headline. Right? Like I told you, that he is going to be in a runoff. And holy crap, but that's not really the actual headline here because here's the actual results from the AP, okay? In this Texas district, the challenger, David Covey, who is backed by Corey DeAngelis, is up 46.3% to 43.2%. That is a 3% difference. Now, the raw numbers do matter here in a small Republican primary because David Covey got just over 15,500, okay, closer to 15,600 votes, while Dade Phelan, the incumbent, got 14,500 votes. It is about a 1,000 vote difference, maybe about 1,100 vote difference if you round up and round down, okay? Now, There was a third challenger in this, if you are not watching on X or Rumble. Again, rumble.com/criticalthinking. X is at The Coppins Show. Alicia Davis took 10.5% of that vote. Where do you think that vote's likely to go? 3,500 votes. It's double. That vote total, where does it go? The actual headline should be Dade Phelan comes in second, forced into runoff. That's the actual headline here. He is second, and he is likely to lose most of the Alicia Davis vote. Again, let's pull that up here when we take a look at this. Most of the Alicia Davis vote is very likely, when you know who Alicia, when you go into the weeds, to go to, that's right, David Covey. Even if he gets half, let's say he gets 40% of 3,500 votes. Let's do some quick math here. 3,500 times 0.50 is 1,750. Let's say of that 3,500, he gets 40%. It's 1,400 votes. So, in other words, what Mr. Dade Phelan would have to get here is 65 to 70% of the Alicia Davis vote to go his direction in the runoff that's coming up. Do you think that's going to happen? Now, if he loses this vote, that means that at least 8 incumbents, 8 of the 13 or 8 of the 16 incumbents that were in runoffs or in primary races, actual primary races, got done in. That's half, 8 of 16. But 10 of 13 leading, won, or in a runoff. If 10 of the 13 that are supported by Corey DeAngelis' super PAC win in that state, it's not just about the super PAC. It is about the power of the parents. It is about the power of the voter. You have returned power to you, not to them. You have literally told the Texas legislatures, you have told the people who are supposed to represent you in Austin, and thus a tidal wave across this country potentially. What we are going to witness here is that, okay, what was the formula that got this to a victory for school choice? Is that a top issue? I would argue it is a top three issue for GOP voters. Immigration, economics, and school choice. And then culture is kind of encompassing of immigration, kind of encompassing of economics, and certainly with school choice. So the cultural issues can play in to all three of the big issues. So culture, whether you think that is the first, second, or third, also plugs into all the rest of it. But what does that serve a signal to? How do you take this and do what? Make it make sense across this country. How do you primary people who are not following the voters, are not doing good for the state, are not or the citizens, right? And how do you move this up the food chain? How do you put incumbents in a hot seat to force them to either listen to the voter or get gone? How do you do it? Well, we've got a formula that worked in a state like Texas, which has been relatively incapable lately of listening to the actual voters in those districts. They have gone and done their own thing instead of being representative of their district. See, that's the rub here. We are going back to potentially a representative federal republic. And if we can return that, if we can take that formula, move it forward, and spread it to the rest of red state America, let alone blue state America, let alone anything like that. Let alone your congressperson. If you can do it at a state level, is that more impactful? There's that word again. Than anything else? Is that more impactful? I would argue so. Now, I said that we had two states that were not super snooze day. And that second state is the state of North Carolina, in which Mark Robinson, who, yes, the lieutenant governor, won the GOP primary. So he will represent the GOP for the governor's race in North Carolina, which has been, I would say, purple slash closer to blue lately. And if you don't know who Mark Robinson is, Mark Robinson's political career, if you will, really started by standing up to school boards with their woke nonsense, okay? But this, folks, this video is who Mark Robinson is. Literally standing at a pulpit in a black church, speaking truth.
There's something else I'm not supposed to say. Ain't but two genders. Two genders. Ain't nothing but men and women. And I can already see WRL out there. They got their licking their pencils around. Trying to write fierce as they can. Get every word of this here. Get every word of this. You can go to the doctor and get cut up. You can go down to the dress shop and get made up. You can go down there and get drugged up. But at the end of the day, you were just a drugged up, dressed up, made up, cut up, man or woman. You ain't changed what God put in you, that DNA. You can't transcend God's creation. I don't care how hard you try. The transgender movement in this country, if there's a movement in this country that is demonic and that is full of the spirit of Antichrist, it is the transgender movement. It's time for grown-ups and time for Christians to start standing up and being unafraid to tell the truth. Come after me if you want to. I don't care. You want my head? Here it is right here. Come on, come get it. I don't care because it's time for us to stand up. Now, I'm not afraid to stand up and tell the truth about that issue. They're dragging our kids down into the pit of hell trying to teach them that mess in our schools. Tell you like this, that ain't got no place at no school. 2 + 2 don't equal transgender. It equals 4. We need to get back to teaching them how to read instead of teaching them how to go to hell.
Now, he just won the GOP primary to become potentially the governor of the state of North Carolina, speaking precise language. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no obfuscation. There's no two-siding. That's exactly where he stands on this issue, and he told you to your face. He stood up at a pulpit and said that, and watched all the pastors around him, if you didn't see it, all the pastors, all the people behind him cheering that on, all of the pastors standing there saying, saying, preach, saying, you betcha, whatever, all of it, standing behind a pulpit and saying that, and got the GOP nomination in the state of North Carolina. I would suggest, humbly, that if he does get elected to be governor of North Carolina, you are looking at the potential for a superstar in the GOP. You are potentially looking at somebody who could rise to the prominence of running for president of the United States. Because this man absolutely, and it's not just this transgender issue. This is a man who speaks plain truth, who speaks honestly, who speaks from the heart. And that plays. It plays big time with the American people. If he can win in North Carolina, this is somebody you need to watch going forward. Because if he can also then govern effectively, if he can present common sense returning to North Carolina, we will see what happens. But this is a person to watch on a national level. Because what we also watched in this cycle with Nikki Haley, she's done, toasted, see you later. She's got no constituency. Like, quite literally, nobody cares that she conceded. Well, except for she really didn't, because she said that she doesn't wish Donald Trump all that well. More importantly, that Trump now has to earn the vote of her voters. But I would argue this, when we saw that 17% of the voters in one of the primaries this Super Tuesday decided to say, well, they're not really in love with Donald Trump, and that 85% of the 17% who voted for Nikki Haley, okay, so it was only 17% voted for Nikki Haley in the primary, but 85% of them would vote for Joe Biden. Is that the constituency that we're after? No, there is no Republican constituency for the Nikki Haley's of the world. I would argue, depending on what Ron DeSantis does after his governorship is up here in a few years, that he's got to find where his constituency is. Now, depending on what Donald Trump does with a running mate, what does that look like for 2028? Is it Kristi Noem? Could Kim Reynolds of Iowa make a case to run? I think it depends on what you see if you take that formula from Texas and start spreading it, or if it just stays localized to Texas. Because if it does spread, a Kim Reynolds, a Mark Robinson, even a Ron DeSantis is somebody that you still have to look out for in 2028 or beyond. I don't know that Mark Robinson has those national aspirations, but I will tell you this. He's a leader. He's somebody that you can get behind rhetorically, but he also means what he says and says what he means. That's a big, big, big difference. With that being said, though, folks, it is time for the Wednesday tradition. It's time for WTF Wednesday right here on Critical Thinking. Oh, sorry, I got lost in the whistle, as I always do. But, folks, Super Snooze Day. MSNBC, CNN, Fox News, they all had wall-to-wall coverage of the two primaries that didn't matter. Like, what? You could have just scrolled the stuff on the bottom and continued to talk and continued to do your normal programming. Because it didn't matter. But MSNBC did give us this on immigration because it doesn't matter or something.
I mean, if you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. Yeah. Of course, I mean, again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very, very contested area.
Thinking,
build a
wall. Like, what?
You're thinking like, what? They share a border with West Virginia. And they also share a border with North Carolina. They also share a border with, Washington, D.C. and Maryland. Yeah. Now, I wonder why immigration would be an issue in Virginia. I wonder why. It's not as if I spent an entire episode last month literally hammering home a report that showed literal cell phone data that all but one congressional district has seen illegal asylum seekers, because that's exactly who these groups of people are. What they have done is realize the loophole in the American law is seek asylum. It's not just cross the border illegally. It is cross the border, I'm seeking asylum. No matter where you cross the border, when you encounter an NGO, when you encounter the border patrol, I'm seeking asylum. You did it illegally, but you're seeking asylum, okay? All but one of our 435 congressional districts, all but one have seen, that's right, all but one have seen cell phones tracked to the 22 or 24, I think, NGOs that are across our southern border, okay? How did that happen? And they're excluding the known worker cell phone data, by the way. So I wonder why Virginians might think that this is a topic of importance. It's also not as if the Biden administration was recently caught red-handed with the news of them paying for flights of over 300,000 illegal asylum seekers to just be bandied about the United States of America. Oh, this is just a Texas issue. Oh, it's just a Arizona or a California issue. What the hell does Wisconsin have to do with the southern border? What is Chicago? Oh, wait, where are they busing these massive amounts, 8 million plus asylum seekers? Where are they doing that? Oh, they're putting them in Chicago and then Milwaukee. And we're seeing them in places like the 100+ thousand cities like Green Bay. And they're putting them in New Hampshire and Maine. And, again, 434 of the 435 congressional districts have dealt with this problem according to real cell phone geolocation data.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Data that shows going from the immigration areas on our border, so seeing the Border Patrol, who then hand them off to NGOs at the border, who then they're free to fly about the country. Oh, and then, did I forget to mention that February 27th, which would be, let's do the math here, 27, 28, 29, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, so 9 days ago, there was this weird headline where a 14-year-old girl was raped in Virginia by, wait for this, a illegal asylum seeker from Venezuela. Nothing to see here. That is not an issue. It is not as if we've got crime. We've got increased violent crime. Now, you might say to yourself, well, hold up, Andrew. This has nothing to do with their illegal asylum seeker status or their illegal immigration status or whatever term or whatever you want to label them as, okay? But I'm just going to tell you this. I encourage you to go to the archives of this show and find the episode where I break down the data and the records that exist as to what the hell is really happening and how all of this is happening. The how this is happening is the answer to why this matters to the American public, no matter where they live. Because no matter where you live, no matter if you personally, like I do, see this every day out my window, on my streets, our streets, the 5,000% increase in beggars and everything else in between. No matter if you see that, no matter what, you are paying for this. You are footing the bill for the Biden administration flying these people from the border to God knows where else in this country. You're footing the bill to pay the NGOs, okay? Oh, and then you're paying the bill for migrants, quote-unquote, as people like Brandon Johnson, our wonderful mayor here in Chicago, like to tell you about. You're paying the bills for them to be housed, fed, and everything else in between, while our government refused to deal with any of this. Oh, and then I also want to be clear on this one thing, because, yeah, you're right. This actually has nothing to do with, per se, their immigration status. Just the same way as looking at somebody's race or somebody's eye color or somebody's hair color or somebody's body type, if you will, right? Has nothing to do with some issues. It's not their immigration status, okay? But it is about the fact that Venezuela, El Salvador, African countries, China. When you know the things I talked about in the episode in February, okay? It is not about the fact that they're illegal asylum seekers. It's not about that. Not about their status. But it's about whom they are. Because Venezuela, El Salvador, African countries, China, they're sending and mixing in the worst of their worst criminals. How do you get rid of your crime problem? Well, what about your repeat offenders and your worst offenders? What if you sprinkled them in with the legitimate quote-unquote, legitimate or desperate illegal asylum seekers? What if you sprinkled them in knowing that America cannot process them fast enough or cannot process them well enough? What if you know that, you go, okay, D, nah, no worries, come on in. And oh, by the way, we're gonna fly you further into this country, away from the southern border, so that, oh, and then we can't track you either, by the way. We have no way of knowing where you are, who you are, what you're doing. You see, it's not about their status. It's not about saying, well, illegal asylum seekers are all bad. No. There are plenty of them that have legitimate claims, by the way, of asylum. They just did it in an illegal fashion. Now, I would suggest that that makes their claim illegitimate. Go do it the legal process and the legal route. Go do it that way. Go to an actual port of entry, claim your asylum, and you've got nothing to worry about in my book. But these cases, this case in Virginia, the Lake and Riley case in Georgia, and others that we have seen, what they actually are about is us. It's about our lax system, our inability to identify these types of criminals that are being sprinkled in by the Venezuelan government, by the El Salvadorian government, by the Chinese government, by African national governments. It's our inability to find them, weed them out. This is supposed to be why our immigration system exists in the first place. We don't want your criminals. We don't want your rapists, murderers. We don't want those people here, right? But we can't find them because they were overwhelming the system intentionally. Yes, their governments are doing it along with the NGOs, along with the UN, along with everybody else. Again, I encourage you, I show you the entire process of how this happens, how they go from Nigeria or Cameroon or Congo, right? How the hell do these supposedly super poor people cross a damn ocean, get to our southern border? The how, the expenses, everything about it. How do people from China get here? Why do every congressional district but one, that includes Hawaii and Alaska, by the way. How the hell does that happen? How, right? How? It is an us problem. It highlights the lax immigration system that we currently have that is allowing these known criminals. They have known criminal records where they came from. We're not talking about a DUI. We're not talking about, let's say, petty theft. We're not talking about spousal abuse perpetrators, right? No. We're talking about murderers, rapists. We're talking about those committing hardcore theft, gang members, cartel members, just leaking over our southern border without us even being able to weed them out. We don't even have a strainer, if you will, want to put that metaphor, where we're going to let the legitimate, quote unquote, you know, the people who have potentially legitimate cases for asylum get through and do something while they're awaiting their status update, while then making sure that we catch and put back, but Venezuela won't accept them. It doesn't matter. You bring their sad asses back to Venezuela, El Salvador. Hell, bring them back to where their quote-unquote journey began. That would be Ecuador, Colombia. Put them there. Let them deal with it, right? Are we doing any of that? These are actually preventable crimes, folks, but they're preventable by us. Yet, state and local governments hardly doing anything to change course of their sanctuary statuses, right? Although we are seeing New York City attempt to change some of that. Are the feds being contacted by any of these people? Oh, wait, that's right. The Lincoln Riley case, if the feds would have been contacted by the city of New York or the state of New York, none of that would have happened because, oh, wait, that violent criminal who had a violent record in Venezuela would have been known to ICE to have gone and gotten them and done something about them, the first violent crime that they committed here in America. By the way, the feds hardly doing anything about it anyway because they got to throw their hands up and say, well, Venezuela won't take them back. I guess we're stuck. No, we're not. No, we're not. No, we're not accepting your absolute hardened criminals into our country. Go to hell. And, oh, by the way, put them back in your jails. That's why it matters to Virginia. That's why immigration is a big deal. But MSNBC wants you to also believe that it's all because, well, of course, racist.
But Republican voters don't vote that way. They don't vote based on economics or based on the benefits they're getting economically from the president. They're increasingly, from the Tea Party on, they're voting on race. They're voting on this idea of an invasion of brown people over the border. The idea that they can't get whatever job they want. A black person got it. Therefore, drive all the blacks out of the colleges. Get rid of DEI. That is what they're voting on. They're just voting specifically on racial animus. Which at this stage, it isn't about economics.
No.
Say what? quite literally the entire point of MAGA forever, the entire point of the MAGA movement is actually economic. It's actually, hey, who's listening to the little guy? Who's listening to our economic issues, our cultural issues, our spending issues, right? Who, what? Again, MSNBC is insane, but this has to be top three insane Joy Reid takes of all time. I just, what? It's all about race. It's all about, oh, is it because immigration? Except for the GOP and MAGA forever, they don't see it as brown and white or whatever. They see it as there are immigrants from all over this world at our southern border and our northern border, by the way, attempting to get in here using our asylum process, our lax asylum process, against us. That's what they see. They don't see it as a Hispanic issue or whatever. It's you and the media that portray every single person who's coming across the border as an other, as a different race, as somebody. You're the one who paints the caricature of them being only Hispanic. That's not true. There's people from Asia. There's people from Africa. There's people from Europe. There's people from all areas of this world at that southern border, at our northern border. There's people from the Middle East. There's people from every corner of the globe. Maybe with the exception of Australia, but even then that might be the case. So dumb for real. So dumb. Speaking of so dumb for real, so dumb. Any president invoking a Sesame Street character for a reference, you'd be so dumb for real, so dumb, so senile.
But even as supply chains are back to normal, some companies are still not passing along the savings to their customers. Many corporations are raising their prices, pad the profits, charging folks more and more for less and less. In fact, some of the small snack companies, you won't and think you won't even notice what they're doing. When they charge you just as much for the same size bag of potato chips, only has a hell of a lot fewer chips in it. I'll tell you who did notice, the Cookie Monster. He pointed out his cookies are getting smaller, paying the same price. I was stunned when I found out that's what actually happened.
I was stunned. Now, I will tell you this. Some of this is true. If you've ever been to, a Buffalo Wild Wings since the pandemic. My wife and I went last year on our way back home from a trip back, or our way back to Chicago from our trip back home in Wisconsin. We decided to stop and not do Culver's, which, by the way, the greatest place on earth, but I digress. From Culver's, we decided to divert and, well, let's try Buffalo Wild Wings. We haven't had that in a long, 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 long time. Single-handedly, the worst experience we've had. And insane prices. And were there any meat on the bones of the wings we had? Next to none. 5 years ago, that was not the case at a Buffalo Wild Wings. 5 years ago, all right, they were all right. I mean, it's a chain, blah, 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 blah. Oh, by the way, their prices have increased by about 35%. So, yeah, there's definitely some issues around that. They've decided to go to a different supplier or whatever have you, and that changes the amount of meat on the bone or whatever have you. But Cookie Monster? Cookies? Cookies are your reference? Why not ice cream there, Joe? I couldn't believe it when the Cookie Monster was talking about shrinkflation. Cookie Monster was only talking about shrinkflation? Because you asked them to. This is wholly a construct of our government. And oh, by the way, also caused by our government and the Fed. I saw this the other day. Here's an example of what I mean. Every 100 days, we as a nation are printing $1 trillion new dollars. $1 trillion new dollars into circulation every 100 days. That's our Fed policy. We are pumping $1 trillion. There are 365 days in a year. That means we are pumping $3.65 trillion into our economy in a year. And not into our economy, by the way, because that would be good news. But we are pumping that money into the monetary supply. We are literally, our Federal Reserve, creating this inflationary problem, this shrinkflation problem. The Fed is doing it. They're literally artificially creating dollars that devalue the actual dollar that you have in your pocket to the tune of $1 trillion every 100 days. $3.65 trillion per year in brand new money into the economy, into circulation. Just poof. That is wholly unsustainable. Yet the Fed is doing nothing about it. The Fed isn't changing its policy, isn't looking at, oh, we're heading for a recession. We should probably, I don't know, suck up some of that money that we've been circulating needlessly. They've created this problem and they're doing nothing about it. Welcome to the era of modern monetary theory, courtesy of Team GOP and the left. Now, speaking of insane monetary policy and the letter C, because I say that C is for CTU wanting $50 billion in its next contract with the city of Chicago, I've just got three more letters for you, GFY. But wait, what? That's right, folks. The Chicago Teachers Union wants $50 billion in its next contract. Now, to give you a point of reference, its current contract is $3.5 billion with the city of Chicago over the lifespan of its contract, which I think was 3 years. That's $1 billion a year. Are they getting a $50 billion contract for 50 years, folks? No. They want a $50 billion contract over the course of, I think it's 3 or 4 years. Now, I mentioned up front that there was a teachers union contract on the table that would be as much as the entire tax receipts for an entire state for an entire year. You might be thinking to yourself, well, yeah, that's probably the truth. Oh, by the way, that state is Illinois, and I'm pretty sure Chicago is in Illinois. So that's right. Over the course of a 3 or 4 year contract, they want to take up the entire tax receipts for the entire state for 1 year. But listen to this from Stacey Davis Gates.
We are asking you to give us an opportunity to tell our story. It will cost $50 billion and 3 cents. Where's the Civic Federation Committee? Where y'all at? Where y'all table? Yes, it will. And so what? That's audacity.
And so what? This is modern monetary theory in practice. These are absolute avowed socialists, okay? These people are socialist. They love that term. They embrace it. They've put their own socialist candidates on the ballot. And in fact, one of them is our current mayor here in Chicago. Now, you might be asking yourself, well, do they care about the $50 billion? She says, so what? But you might also be asking yourself, well, what is the Chicago Teachers Union wanting? Well, before we go any further, $50 billion would be representative of $160,000 per student. Currently, wait for this, the per pupil spending is about $19,000, close to 20K per student. Let's do the math there. It's 20, 40, 60, 80, 100, 20, 40, 60. Oh, that's an 8X of your expenses. Oh, and that's before the city pays for building improvements or building maintenance or anything else in its budget, by the way, for schools. That's before CPS does any of that. This is nuts. But the requests are what's absolutely nuts in all of this. Okay? Absolutely nuts. Because we can go to, I don't know, let's just see here. Let's talk about, how about the economic issues? So this goes through fiscal year 2028. They want cost of living adjustments that meet or exceed inflation measures each year. So, folks, if inflation here in the city of Chicago, because this is where this would be driven from, goes up by 10%, they're going to get an 11% increase in their salary. They want to eliminate the multi-year step on teacher salary schedules, meaning your merit-based pay, if you do a good job and you perform well, they want that gone because who cares about doing a good job? And they also would like to revise the salary schedule to more fairly and equitably compensate educators across their careers, including veteran teachers. They would like to eliminate the differentiation between instructional and non-instructional rates for extra duty work. Now, that has to do with overtime pay. So they're basically saying, pay us massive amounts of overtime. They also would like to adopt or adapt rules followed by other Illinois school districts, allowing for pensionability of more forms of extra duty pay. They also want to allow up to 7 years step credit, which would be up to step 8, for outside teaching experience, regardless of whether attained before or after initial CPS hire. Retroactive all the way to 2020, they would like to maintain the payroll calendar with equal paychecks each pay period, and then give employees the option of participating in a 12-month deferred pay plan or the work year pay plan. But folks, it's not just about that. Let's just see. Where else could we go with all of this? Let's just see. How about, I don't know, we go to our reach or the motivation. They claim that this is because of right-wing forces nationwide who push the false idea that teachers are to blame for all that's wrong in schools. No, they're not. No. Teachers are sometimes the problem, and culturally, absolutely. We see it all throughout CPS. We see it throughout this nation. Until the state law is repealed, we fight to make reach less onerous, to remove the punitive nature of current reach evaluation systems. There are approximately 34 proposals that touch on every part of the reach. The key proposals are the timing change, 33 weeks for last observation, 5 days for pre-conference, no observations the week before or after a break, 3 years for tenure, 3 years. So basically what they're saying here, when you take a look at this, is they really, really do not want allowing teacher performance to influence the decision-making concerning the layoff, the hiring, the firing, the laying off of teachers. But folks, it continues from beyond that to, wait for this, we've got to have LGBTQ healthcare in here. Oh yeah, LGBTQ human rights. They want to codify Brandon Johnson's 12-week paid leave giveaway. There are key proposals in this, right? Gender-affirming and inclusive healthcare coverage that is clearly communicated to staff and included in health insurance handbook. Okay. How about clearly defined general natural bathroom or gender-neutral or general, I believe that's supposed to say gender, but general neutral bathroom policy codified in the collective bargaining agreement. More queer competent trained service providers such as nurses, social workers, counselors, clinicians, etc. to assist and support staff, students, and the school community as a whole. They'd like lactation rooms, not a bathroom, for nursing parents that is clean, private, and equipped with a chair, a refrigerator, have the ability to lock it, provide nursing parents with extra time beyond their breaks to express milk for as long as they are breastfeeding without judgment. Oh, and then, of course, abortion coverage, extended bereavement leave, and more protections around bullying and respectful work environment. By the way, they want that abortion coverage for trans. But I digress, because it continues on from this insanity to wait for this. There's still more healthcare. That's right. They would love for a new pool of healthcare funding for CTU members distributed based on race. That's right. Personal medical release day per year for a scheduled primary care physician visit. They also want to create a pool of resources to address maternal care needs and racial healthcare disparities, including but not limited to reduction of their co-pays and the out-of-pocket maximums and the annual contributions for those people who are not white, of course, but if you're white, pay the full price because you're white. What? Oh, and then they want automatic access to higher quality healthcare. They want lower co-pays, out-of-pocket maximums, and annual contributions. They barely pay anything at all in their contributions for their healthcare, folks. And they would have to change the law for that to happen, but I digress. They want to memorialize paid leave policies, expanding vaccine access, bereavement days. They want to expand access to bariatric surgeries, weight loss drugs, therapeutic supports, service animal coverage. They want to improve their dental and eye care and coverage. Okay, they want to remove the copays for all mental health services. In other words, pay for it all, pay for it all, pay for it all. Taxpayers. We don't want to pay for anything. Bleep you guys. Oh, but we're not done, because how about the Bring Chicago Home plan that we've talked about, you know, where they want to raise taxes on anything that's over $1 million in real estate sales, because it's all about the homeless, except for, we told you all along it really wasn't about that. Instead, the housing crisis in Chicago runs deep, from redlining to contracts and divesting to gentrification. So if you take your stuff out of really bad, horrible, violent neighborhoods, you can't do it. But then when you go to improve that neighborhood and make it better to live into, you're an asshole. But anyway, the impact is that currently there are 220,000 homeless students, families in CPS who cannot afford to pay rent in Chicago. It is because we have new staffing supports that we are able to support more families. But providing the minimum bus cards is not enough. Our CTU members and our STLS advocates and liaisons have demanded that we have more resources. So what do they want? Well, they want financial assistance for CTU members to live and work in the city. Is that about homeless? Oh, and did I tell you, folks, that also has nothing to do with the homeless. Even the base pay of a CTU first-year teacher is higher than the average for workers in the city of Chicago. They would make more money than the average worker in the city of Chicago. Oh, but we're not done, because there's still more in this, because they also would like to pilot free buses for all students. They also would like CPS and CTU to partner with trade unions to create a CTE program that builds housing and becomes housing. That's right. So they want money to partner with trade unions to create housing for the homeless families. So you, the taxpayer, can pay for all of that, but wait for this. There's like Habitat for Humanity. There's all sorts of charities and things that build houses for people who want homes. Oh, and they want to establish a CTU/CPS working group to identify unused city spaces to be turned into public housing for students and families. You mean like the migrant centers? But I'm still not done, believe it or not, because there's more. Because they would like to increase certified personnel to address increased levels of violence and trauma, but in the CTU safety side, many schools throughout the district do not have adequate safety measures in place. In addition, the contract says RJ coordinator, however, very few schools have hired or implemented restorative justice, and that's what RJ means. They would like to increase certified personnel to address increased levels of violence and trauma in the schools, but hold up, wait a minute. Brandon Johnson's hand-picked school board just said double middle fingers and kicked all of the police who are, wait for it, pretty much certified, right? Who better to handle? Are you going to hire outside security? What is going on? Now, it continues because, well, you see, we also need to protect the union job. So, there's a new organizing committee that will submit proposals that expand union rights for CTU members in CPS schools and for educators at non-union charter schools. We also are going to make a proposal to continue to keep the charter school industry in check and accountable, which means reduce the amount of charter schools if you read the key proposals, because they want to strengthen anti-retaliation language for union activism, which is weird because you guys, wait for it, retaliate against anybody who bucks your core, read, socialist agenda. I've just got a few questions, and number one of which is, will anybody stand up to this? Or will this just get hammered through because you morons elected Brandon Johnson to be the mayor of this city, and you're going to get a rubber stamp of $50 billion. I'm just going to say this. Get out. Get out while you can, when you can, however you can. Get out. Make a plan. Maybe that plan is we need to save up for a year to get out. Maybe that plan is we're good. We're going to go find another place to live and do some research for 3 months. Or maybe that plan is we've got a 5-year plan. Or more importantly, that plan is I'm gone right now. And by the way, if that plan is I'm gone right now or 3 months from now or a year from now, get with me, you know, certified, actual licensed real estate agent here in the state of Illinois. Get with me and accomplish that. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. It will be important to do so. Especially right now when we talk about the potential for recession, inflation issues, how has that impacted the housing market here in Chicago? Because I will tell you this, if you're just listening to the national people, you've got no clue what's going on here in Chicago because it is vastly different. Just saying. So DM me. Hit me up on social media at The Coppin Show. You can find me just by Googling me. We'll get together that way. Find me on TikTok where I talk about real estate over there. But with all that being said, it's all insane. It's so insane. Oh, and I want to leave you with, how are we going to pay for it?
Because you know what the headlines are going to say once, you know, people who have a scientific calculator get done with it. They're going to say these are great proposals and can't nobody pay for it. And CTU with all of this, that, and the other. And who's going to pay for it, Stacey? Stop asking that question. Ask another question.
Yeah. What question would that be other than when can we fire you? Please be smart, be safe, be kind. Make sure you eat all of your meals today. And as always, Matthew 5:47.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.